It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. 2 weeks to go.
And it's a choice between the American dream or a totally socialist nightmare.
That is our top story at noon. We're coming down the home stretch, folks, just 14 days away.
It's all a choice between getting a safe vaccine or really a lockdown.
President Trump will join the First Lady tonight in Erie, Pennsylvania. Joe Biden off the campaign trail this week as he gets ready for Thursday night's final debate in Nashville. Running mate Kamala Harris pinched hit for the former VP in Florida.
Because y'all are going to make it happen. You will make it happen.
Jill Biden will campaign for her husband today in Michigan. Remember the first presidential debate?
The question is, radical left.
Will you
shut up, man?
Now a mute button will be added to Thursday night's final debate in Nashville. The candidate who is not talking will have their mic shut off during the first 2 minutes of each segment. It's being done to limit the interruptions.
That's the only time the candidates will be muted. For the rest of it, they're going to be able to go back and forth with each other. It would behoove the president to interrupt a little bit less.
Former White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer. A Senate panel could subpoena Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey over censorship claims stemming from the Hunter Biden email story.
The people who run Twitter and other social media platforms are extremely liberal. Now, that's their right. If they want to hum the Cuban national anthem in the shower, that's none of my business. This is America.
Louisiana Republican John Kennedy.
But when they act on those political beliefs, and in doing so, act like the Taliban, play favorites, and censor one side, that raises a whole host of legal and ethical issues.
The New York Post reported the story last week, which showed emails linking Joe Biden to his son's business dealings in Ukraine. Twitter then blocked the Post story and prevented anyone else from sharing it.
The Biden campaign has not denied any of this. And of course, you can't find Mr. Hunter Biden with a search party. Every reputable journalist in America should be investigating this story.
John Kennedy says the mainstream media's silence on this story reeks of hypocrisy. The Justice Department has filed a landmark antitrust lawsuit against Google. The tech giant is accused of stifling competition to maintain dominance in online search and ad markets. More states reporting surges in COVID cases. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot says the Windy City is seeing a second wave.
We are increasingly seeing large gatherings of unmasked young people. Folks, that has to stop.
Arizona, New Jersey, Connecticut, Maryland, and Pennsylvania also seeing a spike in COVID the past few days. Stimulus stalemate. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's deadline for a COVID relief bill has come and gone.
We know Republicans don't necessarily want this $1.8 trillion price tag, but they are willing to see whether the president and Speaker Pelosi can kind of come to some agreement that would be palatable to Republicans.
That is political analyst Nicole Killian. The World Series starts tonight COVID-19 style. Few fans, masked umps, and muted celebrations. Correspondent Steve Futterman.
Just the fact that the World Series is taking place is a victory of sorts for Major League Baseball. When the season began very late in July, many games had to be canceled or even postponed because either members of the team or the team staff contracted COVID-19. Finally, things began to settle down. The playoffs took place, and now we are here for the finale, the World Series.
That is Steve Futterman reporting from Texas. Game one tonight between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Still to come this Tuesday, President Trump in Erie tonight, COVID on campus, and remembering the silent victims of abortion.
Good afternoon. Well, you'll still be dodging some drops in parts of the area this afternoon. I'll be back with forecast details coming up shortly We'll look for you in about 10 minutes.
Okay, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Tuesday, October 20th. Thousands of people were without power in Erie County, New York earlier today. NYSEG says nearly 5,000 people in the dark at the peak of this morning's outage. Schools in Alden, New York were delayed by 2 hours this morning because of it. Most of the power has now been restored. Pennsylvania has met the COVID criteria to be added to New York's travel advisory list. The Keystone State is not currently on the list. And Southern Tier State Senator George Borrello hopes it stays that way.
There is a constant day-to-day flow of people and goods and economic activity that will be severely strained if Pennsylvania goes onto the quarantine list.
If added to the list, folks entering New York from Pennsylvania would have to quarantine for 14 days. President Trump and the First Lady will be in Erie, Pennsylvania tonight for a Make America Great Again rally. Political pundit Darren Shaw says Mr. Trump needs the Commonwealth if he stands any chance of winning re-election.
It's difficult to see how the president gets to 270 without Pennsylvania.
And Shaw says the president will be focused on the Keystone State from now until Election Day.
We think of Pennsylvania as basically comprised of a T, where the Democrats win in Philadelphia, the Democrats do pretty well in Pittsburgh, the Republicans win in the central and northern parts of the state, and that's where the president's going. He's going to places like Erie, he's going to places later on like Wilkes-Barre.
Joining President Trump tonight in Erie will be the First Lady. This will be Melania Trump's first in-person campaign event in over a year. The president's set to take the podium at the Erie International Airport, 7 o'clock tonight. Doors open at 4. The race in Pennsylvania tightening up with just a couple weeks to go. A recent Reuters Ipsos poll shows Joe Biden clinging to a 4-point lead over President Trump in the Keystone State.
Pennsylvanians really love businessmen. I think they're tired of politicians, and I think that's why they're going to be leaning the way they are in this election as well.
Pittsburgh business owner Nick Bogaz says the Commonwealth loves outsiders.
Look back at elections recently in Pennsylvania back in 2014. I think Pennsylvanians were tired of politicians, and they voted in a governor who also was a small business owner. If you look at 2016, when the state went red, they voted for another business owner and President Trump.
Voter enthusiasm, meantime, has never been higher in Pennsylvania. Election officials say over 9 million people have registered to vote this year. That is a record. Among those, first-time voter Alyssa Benny.
I'm 30, and I can't believe I haven't voted, but I really never took into consideration about how just little me, my voice, can be heard. So I'm kind of really excited.
The Keystone State seeing over 4.2 million registered Democrats and over 3.5 million registered Republicans this election year. Yesterday, the final day to register in order to vote in Pennsylvania. In a split 4-4 decision, the U.S. Supreme Court says it will allow Pennsylvania to count ballots 3 days after the election.
There are many states around the country that have similar rules about receipt of mail ballots in the days after an election, so long as they were postmarked or voted by election.
That is election law expert David Becker. This year's race for New York's 23rd congressional district is a rematch from 2 years ago. Republican incumbent Tom Reed says this time around, though, a little bit more challenging.
In the COVID-19 environment, it's a different ballgame. But, you know, all we tell folks is we're going to put our record up against hers. Bottom line is I trust the wisdom of the people.
Reed running against Democrat Tracy Matrano, who lost to the former Corning mayor by 9 points in 2018. The congressman says President Trump has been an asset, not a liability, to his campaign.
This district, he resonates with people, and you know, he has demonstrated his record. When he focuses on his record, that is something that I don't think anybody can argue the success of it.
Tom Reed and Tracy Matrano will debate the issues next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock on WETM television in Elmira. The race for New York's 22nd congressional district, also a rematch from 2 years ago. Democrat incumbent Anthony Brindisi and Republican challenger Claudia Tenney held a virtual debate last night.
What we need right now in Washington is we need people to be able to bring us together.
I know what it's like to struggle as a single mom.
Healthcare, COVID-19, and the economy dominating last night's virtual debate between the candidates for New York's 22nd congressional seat. Well, with coronavirus cases rising in the Commonwealth, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf urging folks to play it smart.
While we always have to take this deadly virus seriously, now is really the time to double down on our efforts to keep ourselves and the people around us safe.
And the governor says the state has seen two straight weeks of daily new infections over 1,000. Tom Wolf says they are prepared, however, to handle the spike thanks to robust testing and contact tracing. COVID on campus. St. John Fisher College in Pittsford, New York, near Rochester, now reporting 52 cases of COVID, marks the highest case total at that school since reporting began last month. A major collegiate conference in New York has scrapped all winter sports. Family Life's Brendan Dixon.
A spike in coronavirus cases has prompted the SUNY Athletic Conference to cancel all winter sports for the upcoming season. That means men's and women's basketball, indoor track and field, and swimming and diving have all been scrapped, along with men's ice hockey. Meanwhile, the SUNY Athletic Conference will continue planning for the possibility of spring sports. Brendan Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Pro-life students being asked to observe a day of silence today. It is to remember the 3,000 voices taken by abortion every single day in this country.
Basically, it is a day of silent solidarity where we bring into remembrance those that have been lost to abortion.
Marsha Hall is executive director of the Pregnancy Resource Center of the Valleys. They have offices in Corning, Bath, and Mount Morris, New York.
Our goal at Pregnancy Resource Center of the Valleys is to bring that woman to completion, to bond with her baby, to give her that option for adoption.
The Day of Silent Solidarity is directed at pro-life students, organizers asking students to wear a red armband or place red duct tape over their mouths. Hall says this vow of silence is a powerful reminder of those who've been silenced forever because of abortion. The Bills lose again. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, tough one for the Bills. The Chiefs used their ground and pound game to beat Buffalo 26-17. Rookie running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire rushed for 161 yards. Kansas City had 245 on the ground in all. Now, Patrick Mahomes threw for two touchdown passes, but said,
I had to tell myself not to throw it, just keep handing that thing off. I mean, Clyde was running well, O-line was blocking well. And, I mean, I just want to win. I don't care how that's done.
Kansas City improves to 5-1. Josh Allen kind of struggled. Just 122 passing yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. He said unacceptable.
If that's how we play, you know, we're going to struggle to win games. So it is what it is right now. We'll learn from this. I'm obviously super frustrated with myself and how I performed tonight, and I can't do that to this team. So, you know, I got to be better. I will be better.
The Bills on a two-game slide after winning their first four. In Dallas, it was ugly for the Cowboys. Andy Dalton threw two interceptions. Ezekiel Elliott lost two fumbles. Dallas crushed by Arizona, 38-10. Not good, says Cowboy head coach Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, I think that's the reality of the National Football League. I'm irritated just with the way we performed. And as I stated, we need to get this turnover ratio. We need to get it right. It's not right now.
The Cardinals are 4-2, and even though the Cowboys are 2-4, they're still in first place in the NFC East. The World Series gets underway tonight. Tampa Bay Rays take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Game one of the best of seven series at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. Rays starting pitcher Tyler Glasnow on, facing his hero, Clayton Kershaw.
It's unbelievable. It was someone who grew up watching him pitch. Obviously, too, just being the Dodgers, kind of where I'm from, it's a special moment for me, for sure.
And Dodgers outfielder Mookie Betts hoping for more momentum from their Game 7 win against the Braves.
Mentally exhausting, you know, that series. But I think it just shows you why we're here. You know, we need to win a World Series.
The Dodgers hoping to win their 21st World Series. The Rays hoping to win their first pitch tonight at 8:11. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
I'll be watching. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report. All eyes on the Keystone State. Why Pennsylvania is key this election. Plus, rescuing the homeless in Williamsport. Meet today's hometown hero. And at the end of today's broadcast, why music really matters.
When is Christianity not Christianity at all? When it leaves the bounds of the faith delivered to the saints once for all. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint.
over and over, the church has, in various times and various ways, ruled that some beliefs are simply not acceptable alternatives within Christianity. Adherents to these beliefs are, in fact, outsiders to the faith. For example, nearly 100 years ago, in a book titled Christianity and Liberalism, Presbyterian scholar J. Gresham Machen argued, in an extensive scholarly treatment, that liberal Christianity was not an alternative version of the one true faith handed down once for all to the saints. It was, he argued, a completely different religion. The liberal Christianity of his day focused on a social reform agenda fueled by feelings informed by secular thought, barely draped in religious language. The God it preached was not sovereign over creation or providential over the affairs of men. He did not really come in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, who did not really perform miracles or physically rise from the dead. And the Bible was not really the fundamental and decisive revelation of God, nor the final authoritative source for morality. But it must be understood according to our evolving scientific knowledge and political agendas. Well, today, the effort to update Christianity continues, an effort to adapt and reform it according to the spirit of our age. From beautiful and historic churches decorated with gay pride flags and pastored by ordained ministers who bless abortion clinics, to the ex-evangelicals who become the self-styled spokesperson for what Jesus would really say and do, there is, in our day, a Christianity that is no Christianity at all. I'm quite pleased that there's a new book, still theologically robust, but very accessible, now available to address the ideas deceiving so many Christians. The book is called Another Gospel: A Lifelong Christian Seeks Truth in Response to Progressive Christianity. Elisa Childers grew up in the church. She eventually became a member of a very successful Christian pop group called Zoe Girl. Despite that pedigree, as she told my colleague Shane Morris on his Upstream podcast, she was completely unprepared when she learned that her pastor was actually a skeptic. And when he confronted her with questions and counterclaims about the reliability of Scripture, the morality of the atonement, whether or not God ever answers prayers or cares about our sexual choices or maybe even exist, flailing in doubt, Childers went to work to find answers, studying Scripture, studying church history, studying the great apologist for the Christian faith, both past and present, and learning how to critique the claims of progressivism. In the process, she found that Orthodox Christian beliefs actually have rock-solid foundations, and that she could find answers to these tough questions. A progressive Christianity that denies the divinity of Christ, or treats his incarnation and resurrection from the dead as myths, or reimagines human nature away from God's created design, and according to the new sexual libertinism, well, that's not just another take on the old faith. It's another gospel entirely. Childers' book, Another Gospel, is an incredibly valuable resource, especially now. It's almost like every week I'm talking with pastors or youth pastors or parents or grandparents who are watching the next generation buy into a false gospel, questioning the historic truth claims of Christianity. Using the framework of her personal story, in Another Gospel, Childers provides us with a thorough, rigorous, and entirely readable takedown of progressive Christianity, as well as a reliable introduction to the non-negotiables of the Christian faith. During this month of October, I would love to send you a copy of this book, Another Gospel, with a gift of any amount to Breakpoint and the Colson Center. Just come to breakpoint.org to get your copy. That's breakpoint.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, let's head outside.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, we have some more raindrops in our future. One rain system moving away today, another coming in late tonight into tomorrow. Could include rumbles of thunder, but it will also include some brief warming. We'll cool down again Thursday, only to warm up big time on Friday, only to cool down again over the weekend. So in forecast four for this afternoon, it'll be cloudy on the cool side. Still a bit of rain or some showers around. Temperatures not moving much from present values. Then for tonight, cloudy. Showers and some rumbles come in late tonight mainly and continue into tomorrow. Temperatures will fall briefly tonight, then rise past 60 in spots by tomorrow morning. And tomorrow, temperatures could break 70 despite some showers. On Thursday, clouds, some sunshine, a little cooler, upper 50s to the upper 60s then.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Tuesday, October 20th, Election Day, 2 weeks from today. And the Trump and Biden campaigns are focused on the battleground states of Pennsylvania and Michigan. President Trump and the First Lady will appear at an airport rally tonight in Erie. Tom Bevin at Real Clear Politics thinks the Keystone State will determine this year's winner.
I personally think it's going to be the tipping state. It's going to be the state that decides this election. We have seen some closing in that, some tightening in the race just a couple a week ago or so. Biden's lead there was over 6 percentage points. Now it's under 4 points in our Real Clear Politics average. So it looks like there's some tightening. I expect it to continue to tighten over the next couple weeks, and I suspect it's going to be very, very close on Election Day.
Meantime, Jill Biden will represent her husband with a stop in Michigan today. The Democratic White House hopeful off the campaign trail this week to get ready for Thursday night's final presidential debate. And that final presidential debate will sound a little bit different. The mic of the candidate who is not talking will be turned off for the first 2 minutes of each segment. Mark Thiessen, a columnist for the Washington Post.
I don't know that that's going to hurt Donald Trump. It might even help Donald Trump. If you remember the last time a debate moderator tried to mute a candidate, it was Ronald Reagan in the 1980 primary. And he said, Mr. Moderator, I bought this microphone. It was one of the great moments that helped solidify his presidency. So I don't know that muting Donald Trump may be a liberal reporter's dream, but I don't know that it's going to hurt him in any way in the debate.
Thursday night's final debate will be moderated by Kristen Welker from NBC News. The Justice Department suing Google.
The Justice Department accuses Google and its parent company, Alphabet Inc., of using their market dominance to block competition. The Justice Department and the Federal Trade Commission began antitrust investigations of Google, Amazon, Apple, and Facebook more than a year ago. 11 states with Republican attorneys general have also joined the suit.
That's Steve Dorsey reporting. A Senate panel poised to subpoena the head of Twitter over censorship claims stemming from the Hunter Biden email story. Those emails appeared in the New York Post last week, and the story was quickly blocked by Twitter.
They ought to be brought in to testify, and hopefully they will answer in a voluntary basis so the subpoena doesn't have to be issued. And it's all about freedom of speech, freedom of press.
Iowa Republican Chuck Grassley, yesterday the director of national intelligence, shot down claims by some Democrats that the Hunter Biden story was somehow part of a larger Russian misinformation campaign. Here's Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton.
If they really were Russian disinformation, as Adam Schiff and the other Democrats are running around screaming without any evidence, you would think that the Biden campaign and Hunter Biden would be saying that. The fact that they're not really is the dog that didn't bark in this controversy, and most Americans can use their common sense to say what that means.
The U.S. Supreme Court allowing Pennsylvania to count mail-in ballots received up to 3 days after the election. The 4-4 decision keeps a state ruling in place. Legal scholar Lori Levinson says the timing is bad for Republicans who've pushed for Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation.
They believe that if she were on the court, this case would have gone differently, that there would have been 5 conservative justices, and in fact, the Republicans would have won in not allowing the late mail-in ballots.
Republicans had unsuccessfully argued that counting mail-in ballots after the election violates federal election law. Conservative radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh says his stage 4 lung cancer has progressed in the wrong direction.
We all know that we're going to die at some point, but when you have a terminal disease diagnosis that has a time frame to it, then that puts a different psychological and even physical awareness. It's a blessing when you wake up. It's a stop everything and thank God moment.
That is radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh. 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Cleveland Way from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. He runs a ministry where the aim is to give back. What is American Rescue Workers?
American Rescue Workers is a shelter first. It's a 42-bed program and a 6-bed emergency shelter. They also use the donations from the community and resell any of our 13 thrift stores. And we also have a social service center that helps with community needs, such as food pantry distribution and emergency financial assistance.
Has the pandemic affected you guys in any way?
It has. When we were shut down, we did not allow anyone in. So the bed count started to diminish, as well as our trucks weren't going out and picking up donations and so on. Mm-hmm. And we survived by our donation.
Now, is homelessness a big problem in Williamsport?
When you say big problem, huge, we don't have individuals on the street that you can see in, like, in a big city. Mm-hmm. They're not camping out on grades in the street, what have you, but there is a homeless problem here. It is very difficult to find them because they're resourceful. But, yes, we do have a problem.
Well, and I love your slogan there, repurposing clothing, shoes, and lives. Man, that's awesome that you guys are meeting people where they're at. And the program I found particularly interesting was this Fresh Start program. Share with our listeners what that is all about.
So when I first took over this position, there was individuals here that was here for quite some time, over a couple of years. Even in the emergency shelters, they overstayed their 30-day welcome without finding any jobs or other places to stay. And I wanted to be an agent of change in this whole situation. So after doing some research, I devised this program called Fresh Start. As far as the emergency shelters are concerned, you come in the door and it's now a day-to-day program. It is no longer a 30-day shelter. Mm-hmm. So the moment you walk in the door, you're met with a case manager and they will come up with a goal plan as to how to get to permanent housing. And we have already done a lot of work with resources and working with those individuals. As long as they're moving forward in their goal planning, they mm-hmm. earn their bed for the next day. And then when they get their permanent housing solution, then they're discharged. And we have an average stay now of 21 days. And then the Fresh Start program is a 9-month program designed to take an individual from where they are to being self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. So we will give them everything that they possibly need in the first 90 days. And then once they start getting a job, they will have to pay into the program 30%. 15% goes back to the program, which is helping the next person. So when they leave here, they will be on the same job for 3 to 4 months. They will have $1,500 to go into a bank account, which I call fallback money or emergency money. Mm-hmm. And they will be moving into their own apartment.
We're speaking with Cleveland Way with the American Rescue Workers in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And you also have a church that you guys run?
The American Rescue Workers Church. The guys are able to go there on Sundays. We also have Bible study on Tuesday night at the shelter. One of the unique things about our shelter is that every morning we have a team meeting and we have a devotional before we get started in our day and we pray. So it is treating the entire person holistically.
Yeah, and I would imagine you had to have a lot of success stories from people whose lives have totally changed because of what you guys do. Is there one story in particular, Cleveland, that kind of stands out in your mind as, hey, man, this was a powerful transformation that we were a part of?
Absolutely. There was a gentleman that has come in, and when he came in, first of all, he was very hesitant with the program because he didn't trust anyone. His life was full of incarceration, drugs, women, alcohol, and he didn't know anything differently. Mm-hmm. But something happened while he was here that changed his thinking. And he started to follow the instructions that I gave him through the program. And he is now supervising a warehouse, doing well, has his own apartment, and he is giving back to the community on his own. So he's being compelled to give what was given to him.
It's Cleveland Way from Williamsport, Pennsylvania, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life. And the big show comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, we have some more raindrops in our future. One rain system moving away today, another coming in late tonight into tomorrow. Could include rumbles of thunder, but it will also include some brief warming. We'll cool down again Thursday, only to warm up big time on Friday, only to cool down again over the weekend. So in forecast four for this afternoon, it'll be cloudy on the cool side. Still a bit of rain or some showers around. Temperatures not moving much from present values. Then for tonight, cloudy. Showers and some rumbles come in late tonight mainly and continue into tomorrow. Temperatures will fall briefly tonight, then rise past 60 in spots by tomorrow morning. And tomorrow, temperatures could break 70 despite some showers. On Thursday, clouds, some sunshine, a little cooler, upper 50s to the upper 60s then.
All right, Kevin Williams, getting it done at the Weather Center this afternoon. We appreciate it. Finally at noon.
It's the music that matters. Researchers at Harvard's Music Lab find lullabies in any language help babies relax and unwind, even if they're not familiar with the words.
There you go. I'm totally chill now. Deborah Rodriguez reporting. That is the world we live in for a Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.